Live on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A, it's time for Q&A with DJ Phone. Today's program is sponsored by High Country Rec V Center, David Snyder, CPA, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, and
welcome
Prescott
to
College.
Welcome to the Tuesday edition
now,
of Q&A.
Here's your host for Q&A, DJ Phone.
We have a very special program for you today. We are going to talk to Max Richmond. He is the Executive Director for the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare. He is calling in live from Washington, D.C. with updates on the programs you and I have been paying into for decades. And Max, because we have been paying in for decades, you must cringe when you hear these programs described as entitlements.
Well, that's to put it mildly. It does make me cringe because, when most people hear the term entitlements, they think this is some kind of program that you benefit from because you're living and breathing. That's not the case. As you just pointed out in the introduction, most people have been paying into this program for decades, and they have been buying insurance by virtue of their payments for their families. Yes, it's for retirement, but Social Security is insurance for families. Children receive Social Security benefits if they have a parent who dies young or becomes disabled, survivors, disabled. So this is a program that we pay into, as you mentioned, for decades, and we buy insurance during that time. It is not an entitlement.
And do you find in your lobbying efforts with Congress that some politicians try and use this as a political football lumped under welfare?
Absolutely. That's the point. And that's why it's attempted, some attempt to categorize it as entitlement. Welfare is an entitlement. It's a program that you can benefit from because of your economic situation, whether you're employed or not employed. And that's a whole different animal than an earned benefit.
Max, today is August 14th, 2018. Why is this an important date in U.S. history?
Well, it's so nice to be talking to you on the 83rd anniversary of the signing of the Social Security bill into law. So Social Security today is 83 years old. It has lifted more people out of poverty than all other federal programs combined. And everyone who has been paying in and expecting to receive benefits when they reach eligibility age has received them in full. There are very few programs in government, I can't think of a one, that has that kind of a record of stability and success.
And not only that, but it's been operating very, very on a very lean platform too, right?
Absolutely. You know, the administrative cost to run the Social Security program, all those offices all over the United States, all those employees that are dedicated to helping beneficiaries, citizens with their claims, that all of those expenses amount to 0.9% of the entire cost of the program. And much of that, 0.9%, is paid for out of the payroll tax, the FICA tax, mm-hmm. The majority of it. So it's a program that could not be duplicated in the private sector. You know, we've heard calls over the years to privatize the program. Notably, President George W. Bush made it a campaign issue, and when he was reelected in 2004, stated right off the bat he'd earned political capital and he was going to spend it to privatize Social Security. You could not find a private company that could operate this efficiently in the United States. And the reason being, Social Security is not trying to make a profit, mm-hmm. trying to increase dividends for board members. It's trying to serve the American people.
So what would you have to say about the economic impact of Social Security in this country?
Well, that's one thing that we have focused on here lately, and anyone who's interested in details can go on our website, ncpssm.org. where we are providing update. We've done this a number of years of state snapshots, which discuss the economic and beneficiary data by state, by congressional district. And since I'm talking to you and you're in the in Arizona, there are 1.3 million beneficiaries of Social Security. They receive their benefits, which they need to just get by in life. They receive those benefits amounting to about $20 billion. In your congressional district where you're located, I think it's in the 4th Congressional District, there are almost a quarter of a million beneficiaries receive $3.4 billion last year. What happens to that money? It is spent in the community. It is not saved or invested because so many people depend on Social Security just to get by. They need it to pay their rent, their clothing, their food, repairs. It covers the basics of beneficiaries' lives. And that's why the impact is so important, because this money goes right back into the community. It helps support local businesses and all kinds of businesses, not just those that cater to retirees, but across the board. So one of the things we've been working on through our website and through opportunities like the one you're affording me right now is to impress on people that this program has benefits for individuals who are retired, disabled, survivors, but it also benefits the entire community by the multiplier effect of having all that money flow through the accounts of beneficiaries right into the local economies.
And statewide, since Arizona's population does skew a little older than the rest of the country, we are kind of a retirement haven here. Healthcare is by far the number one employer in the state of Arizona. If there were ever serious cuts to the Medicare program and to Social Security, what would that do economically to Arizona?
Well, as you point out, there's so many, there's almost 1.5 million beneficiaries of the program of Social Security. It would be devastating to the economy. Not just to those people that would have reduced benefits or higher out-of-pocket medical costs, but to the providers of health care and all of the economic activities that people engage in where Social Security beneficiaries spend that money. And they spend it locally. And it's important to keep in mind that as this process, I call it a multiplier effect, when dollars pass from one entity to the next, it is in sometimes more subtle ways than not helping economically stabilizing economies across your state and across the country.
And we are talking with Max Richmond. He is the executive director of the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare. Max is calling in live from Washington, D.C. More coming up with Max in just a moment on today's Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 a.m., 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood. We stream live around the world at kqna.com.
Load up the RV and hit the open road. To the repair shop? Now that's not my idea of a fun trip, and it sure isn't convenient. So let High Country Rec V Center
and
come
Max,
to you.
I
mobile service
can't
is just one of those
programming
specialties.
Going on, but we're coming back in about 2.5 minutes.
Necessary
and we will go
and
until about,
and an authorized warranty
we'll go
service
until about,
center for all the
5,
major RV appliance manufacturers and extended warranty work. So to schedule service
noise.
Or just ask them a question, call them at 772-8231 or online at hicountryrvcenter.com.
Membership in the Prescott Chamber of Commerce is good for your business. As a member, your business will be listed on the Prescott Chamber website and in the Chamber's annual directory. You're also eligible to place brochures in the Chamber's lobby and opportunities galore to network with other business people at monthly mixers and other events. Join the Prescott Chamber today at 445-2000. Prescott's business advocate, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce.
Brutal executions, beheadings, ISIS, they hate America. They've killed thousands around the world and plot terrorist attacks on U.S. soil. They're a real threat. And Kelly Ward? She's called for restraint in fighting terrorism. Listen to this Kelly Ward interview.
What is your response to ISIS?
Restraint and realism.
Restraint in stopping those who want to kill Americans?
Restraint and realism.
Kelly Ward's dangerously wrong. What's worse, Kelly Ward would cut military funding, putting the war on terror at risk. Ward even opposed the Defense Authorization Act that included pay raises for the troops who keep us safe. Our soldiers put their lives on the line fighting for us, but Kelly Ward won't fight for them. Kelly Ward, irresponsible, risky, and wrong for Arizona. Defend Arizona paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. www.defendarizona.org.
There's a place where we learn that in giving we receive. A place where the broken find healing and repentant hearts find mercy. A light to guide us through darkness. Where is this place? It's a Catholic church, the church founded by Jesus. If you've been away from the Catholic faith, come home to Sacred Heart Church. We've been saving souls in Prescott for 140 years. Visit us at sacredheartprescott.com.
Provide value. That's what a CPA can do for you. Hi, this is David A. Snyder, CPA. Now is a great time of year for business valuations. Valuations are for providing a value for your business so you can retire from it, sell it, or expand it. With my ex-military, task-oriented mindset, and over 20 years of experience, you can trust that you can get the most accurate business valuation. Give me a call or visit DavidASnyderCPA.com for more information. You deserve the sharpest in Arizona. David A. Snyder, CPA.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
And we are back live at 2:13. Right now it is 5:13 in Washington, D.C. So Max Richman, the Executive Director of the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare, is staying late to inform us today. Max, we appreciate that. Now, you mentioned early on that this is the date when Social Security was signed into law, correct?
That's correct, exactly. 83 years ago today.
Now, since you deal daily with Washington as part of your lobbying efforts, if today's Congress were to write Social Security and Medicare over from square one, how do you think it would differ?
Well, I wouldn't put a lot of faith in the current Congress to come up with a program nearly as good, either Social Security or Medicare. What I think they ought to do, and I hope in the near future we can have a Congress that will be interested in expanding Social Security. It's a great program, and Medicare, a great program, but they could be improved. The Medicare program, to the surprise of many who turn 65, does not cover hearing, does not cover dental, does not cover vision, does not cover long-term care. These are all pretty important. And there's legislation that we've endorsed, a number of different pieces of legislation that would begin to have some coverage for dental, vision, and hearing. For the Medicare program, a Congress that was paying attention to the needs of its citizens, especially older people, would embark on that. Would try to at least open the door to some of that coverage. With respect to Social Security, I think it's important to improve the minimum benefit, and we support legislation that would raise that about $70 a month. That may not sound a lot of like a lot of money to many people, but if you're living entirely or mostly on Social Security, $70 a month can make a big difference. Every Social Security beneficiary is keenly aware of the COLA, the cost of living adjustment. I think you and I have talked about this before. The cost of living adjustment is supposed to provide an increase each year if it's reflected by the impact of inflation. Unfortunately, the formula that is used to measure inflation looks at how the price of certain goods and services have risen that are predominantly used by wage earners and does not put enough weight on those kinds of things like health care, like the things that Medicare doesn't cover that we just talked about, does not put enough emphasis, weight on those kinds of things. So a Congress that would be sensitive to the needs of older people would have a revised formula for determining the COLA and would look at, if a COLA is supposed to keep an older person on Social Security that benefit up with inflation, then the measure of inflation should be based on the kinds of things an older person relies on and uses and needs, and that is not the case. So a Congress more sensitive to that, I think, would be inclined to address that and change the formula so that it does reflect those kinds of inflationary impacts. Those are a couple of examples.
And isn't the COLA a little bit unfairly weighted on gas prices since older people generally don't drive a lot?
You know, in 2009 and 2010, the COLA was zero. And if you ask an older person if they think that their cost of living did not go up during those years, they'll laugh at you. Why was it zero? Largely because of what you so astutely pointed out. In those years, there was an increase in the price. I mean, gasoline prices were not increased. They fell. And when they fell, it pushed down the formula that determines a COLA. That's fine. It's good for a lot of wage earners. But seniors are not using cars as much, are not using gasoline as much. They're not going to work. They're retired. They're not going to work and home every day. They're not dropping kids off at school. So, in effect, imposing a standard for inflation that is pegged to what a wage earner uses is penalizing a senior who doesn't rely on those things as much, like gasoline. So, you know, largely because of gasoline prices dropping, we had zero COLA for 2 years in a row, and there are previous years there, the COLA has been zero. And keep in mind, the COLA, it's like interest on a savings account. It's compounded. So if you have a 0 year, that's going to mean you're really being penalized from there, from that point forward, because that base is zero, so your whatever increase will be smaller as well. So having a fair COLA, a COLA based on inflation as it is affecting an older person, is long overdue.
And, Max, what is the position of the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare on the proposed, in some quarters, Medicare for All, where people would pay in premiums based upon their age and their health?
Well, you know, I've been studying that. I know Senator Bernie Sanders and I think a dozen or so senators are supporting a bill that would be Medicare for All. What I'm trying to determine is how that would impact the current Medicare program. I have not reached a conclusion. We have staff doing analysis on that. But, you know, our members, for the most part, are Medicare beneficiaries. They join our organization because they are concerned about the program and its impact on older people. And I just think it's important before we take a position on Medicare for All, that we become, they were very clear on how it would affect our constituency, which is currently consists of Medicare beneficiaries and Social Security beneficiaries.
And one last question for you, Max. It used to be people were expected to retire at age 65. We know that's why CBS let Walter Cronkite go. But with so many people now working well past 65 and being billed, you know, every paycheck for Social Security, is that helping the Social Security fund?
Well, it's not only helping the Social Security fund, it's helping beneficiaries who will receive a larger benefit. We have a campaign underway, and we're using a lot of earned media to communicate about this campaign, and we call it Delay and Gain, because the current age for Social Security, it's gone up from 65 to 60. It'll be 67 for everybody in a few more years. But if you retire early at 62, that has not changed. You get a reduced benefit forever. If you retire at your normal retirement age, whether it's 66 or 67, you get a much higher benefit. If you can delay claiming benefits until age 70, you get an even higher benefit. And, of course, we just talked about the COLA. The COLA is based on the size of your benefit, so if your benefit's larger, your COLA is, is larger as well. Now, granted, there are individuals who, by virtue of their economic circumstances, their health condition, may feel they have no choice but to claim as early as possible. But it's really important for people to understand that if possible, if you can wait and delay filing, even for a year or two, you're going to be better off over time. And as we know, people are living longer. They're going to depend on that Social Security for a much longer period of time.
Max Richmond, we thank you once again for joining us and for staying late after 5 p.m. in Washington with the Beltway traffic and all. We look forward to our next conversation. Keep up the good work on behalf of the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare. How can our listeners access your website?
Well, the website it's an excellent website. We've got compliments from everyday citizens and members of Congress about it. It's ncpssm.org. ncpssm.org, or they can call our toll-free number. It's 1-800-966-1935. Easy to remember. It's the year Social Security became law, the birthday that we're celebrating today, the 83rd birthday. 1-800-966-1935.
And happy birthday to everyone there with you in Washington.
Thank you so much.
Have a great day. Max Richmond, thanks for joining us today on Q&A. Stay tuned because we're going to take a break, come back with a little more, and then we're going to have news with Link, local and state news, followed by a chat with Kevin Gray and Sam Seward. They were the student and the faculty advisor who represented ERAU at the recent SpaceX Hyperloop competition. Wait until you hear that interview. That's coming up very shortly on today's Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities. 11:30 a.m., 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood. And Cottonwood streaming live at KQNA.com.
If you are a current or former smoker, you may want to think about screening for lung cancer with low-dose computed tomography. The U.S. Preventive Services Task Force recommends lung cancer screening annually for those at high risk. Yavapai Regional Medical Center performs low-dose CT screening in Prescott and Prescott Valley. It only takes a few moments, and it can set your mind at ease while giving you and your doctor the information you need for intervention if needed. Lung cancer is the leading cause of cancer death for men and women in the United States, and early detection is important. Talk to your doctor about your risk for lung cancer and how low-dose CT screening can help, or call YRMC's Patient Navigator at 928-771-5454. Do it for your peace of mind and for the ones you love.
Come visit our service center at Findlay Subaru Prescott for the expert care your Subaru deserves. Our factory-trained teams of advisors and technicians use genuine Subaru parts, specialized tools, and perform a free multi-point inspection with each visit to diagnose and repair problems correctly. Perfect to make sure your family is safe before the big vacation. With our dedication to expertise, we'll help make sure that the love you put into your Subaru is the love you'll get out of it. Do you need an oil change? Tire rotation? Is your check engine light on? From routine to the unanticipated, our team has you covered. Plus, every service comes with a complimentary car wash. See our website for the current reverse early bird special available Monday through Friday, 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. Then schedule your appointment today by calling 928-771-6910. Making you happy is only half the job. Keeping you happy is the true spirit of quality service. Findlay Subaru Prescott, doing our part to give back to the community and make the world a better place. Shop online anytime at FindlaySubaruPrescott.com.
Arizona Diamondbacks Baseball is live on KQ&A. Diamondbacks Baseball brought to you by Earnhardt Kia, Pitcher's 1-Hour Air Conditioning, Benjamin Franklin Blood, Prescott Valley Automotive, Waters Garden Center, Barrett Propane, Primavera Online School, Al's Auto Body, House Jules Country Bank, Prescott True Value, Affinity RV, Yamapai Bottle Gas, Gettles High Desert Mechanical, Heating and Cooling, and Cliff Castle Casino. D-backs visit the Rangers, Tuesday live at 5. AM 1130, Mid 99.9 FM in Prescott and Chino Valley, Mid 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A.
Take me out to the ball game.
Hey y'all, it's Rosie, and we're celebrating 30 years here at Rosie on the House.
All month long, our focus is on water, and we'll dive into pool remodeling. If your pool doesn't look as inviting as it used to, we'll have some ideas on refinishing, decking, and fresh looks with Above and Beyond Pool Remodeling. From the great outdoors to repairs indoors, start your weekend with every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
Rosie on the House, Saturday morning, 9 to 11 on 95.5, 99.9, and AM 1130. KQ&A.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
And the Diamondbacks are in Arlington, Texas for the second of their two interleague games with the Rangers. You can tune in live at 5 o'clock to catch all the action tonight, and the Diamondbacks are off tomorrow. Hey, we always welcome your questions and comments about Q&A. Just drop me an email at DJPhone, that's DJFONE, at KQNA.com. This being Tuesday, it's Tuesday Night Classics at the Harkins 14 in Prescott Valley. Chris Farley and David Spade co-star in Tommy Boy, about a complete doofus who inherits his father's company with very funny results. Complete doofus who, not going to go there. Okay. Sure glad it never happens in real life. Hey, big things are coming to the Prescott Elks Theater. Tomorrow on the big screen, you can enjoy Meryl Streep and Robert Redford in the Oscar-winning Out of Africa. On Friday at the Elks, it's Slow Hand, the Eric Clapton tribute. This Sunday, it's the rescheduled concert for J.D. Souther, the Hall of Fame songwriter for the Eagles, Linda Ronstadt, James Taylor, who also had a best-selling hit of his own, You're Only Lonely. He will take the stage at the Elks Sunday at 7. On Friday the 24th, our friend Mike Vax brings his Great American Jazz Band to the Elks for a tribute to the New Orleans sound of Louis Armstrong, Al Hurt, Pete Fountain, and so many more big, easy greats. Then mark your calendars for the last day of August when the Prescott leg of Vuela Tour 2018, right from France, takes the stage with great French performers, including Gaëlle Boussuel, who will be my guest next week. She opened for Ringo Starr just a couple months ago in Paris, along with local favorites the Cheek Tones, Tom Agostino and his wife Christina, or Krista, and Sugar and the Mint. Get your tickets for these Elks Theater shows by calling 777-1370 or going online to PrescottElksTheater.com. Stay tuned now for local and state news with Link, followed by my chat with the ARAU team that went to the SpaceX Hyperloop competition. On today's Q&A on the Talk of the Quad City, 11:30 a.m., 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, streaming live at KQ&A.com.
Hi, James Roush here at Bualka Volk Mortgage. Are you interested in buying a home and just have a million questions running through your head? The James Roush team at Bualka Volk Mortgage is here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week by appointment. Even if you need to meet on Saturday morning because of your work schedule, we'll be there. Call the James Roush team at 445-8730, Bualka Volk Mortgage.
License number 00128295, LNS number 16209, Equal Opportunity Lender.
This is State Representative David Stringer. I recently devoted a radio ad to reminding you of the promises I made when I first ran for office and showing you how I kept them. But elections are more than what you've done. They should be about what you're planning to do next. So let's talk about the way forward for Arizona. Our economy is booming, but we need to stay the course with a balanced budget and low taxes and reduce regulations to keep out of the way of the private sector that's driving growth. Our schools are improving, but school districts must direct more dollars to classrooms and teachers, and not to overpaid school bureaucrats. President Trump is still trying to build a wall to secure our borders, but we need to keep the pressure on Congress to get the job done and end illegal immigration. We know the left will never stop chipping away at our constitutional rights, so we need to protect our Second Amendment rights, our religious liberties, and so much more. That's how I'll be spending my time if you honor me with your vote in the Republican primary. Visit VoteStringer.com to learn more.
Paid for by conservatives for Stringer.
And now the Arizona Lottery presents the Fantasy Five, 5 Seconds of Fantasy. This concludes the Fantasy Five, 5 Seconds of Fantasy, presented by the Fantasy Five $1 million giveaway. From now until August 31st, every Fantasy Five ticket you purchase can be entered into a drawing for a chance to win $1 million. Enter at ArizonaLottery.com.
You can't win if you don't play!
This is Dr. Kelly Ward, and I approve this message. Well, we knew it would happen. The liberal establishment is attacking me with money from a rich San Francisco liberal who's given millions to Democrats. A leftist group is spreading lies about me. Why? Because liberals know I will build the wall, secure the border, and oppose sanctuary cities. I'll break the logjam in Washington that's stopping President Trump's agenda. My opponent, Martha McSally, won't change anything. That's why Mitch McConnell, lobbyists, and special interest groups want her to win. But it won't work. Trusted conservatives like Senator Rand Paul, Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, and Paul Gosar are uniting behind me, Dr. Kelly Ward. President Trump even said it was great to see me running. If you stand with President Trump, then stand with me now. Reject the establishment's attempt to buy this election. And join this winning team at KellyWard.com. Paid for by Kelly Ward for Senate, Inc.
We're KQ&A.
Good afternoon, and thanks for making the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A, your choice for your Tuesday. I'm Link Elliott with a check of news and weather together on Q&A with DJ Phone, brought to you by Wallach & Volk. It was a motorhome driver versus a church building, and in this case, the driver lost. Yavapai County Sheriff's Office spokesman Dwight Devlin explains the incident happened at around noon on Sunday.
Deputies were dispatched to the 20,000 block of Club Lane in Cordis Lakes regarding a motorhome colliding with a church building. The reporting party told deputies they heard a crashing noise during the church service.
When they went out to investigate, they found a motorhome had collided with the building. The driver, 58-year-old Cordis Lakes resident Stephen Merrigan, left the motorhome while churchgoers were examining the damage. Devlin says deputies arrived and interviewed the driver.
Deputies arrived and interviewed Merrigan, who admitted driving his motorhome up the hill from his house and into the church parking lot, damaging a parked car and colliding with the church building while attempting to turn.
Merrigan admitted to drinking a six-pack of beer about an hour or so before driving his vehicle. He performed poorly during a field sobriety test while showing signs and symptoms of impairment. Blood test results are pending. Merrigan remains in the Camp Verde jail on a DUI charge. If you've recently bought Van Oriental Foods pork egg rolls, check to make sure they haven't been recalled before eating them.
Van has recalled more than 10,000 pounds of the heat-treated but not fully cooked pork egg rolls that may be contaminated with soft plastic. The egg rolls were produced May 30th, and the products have a shelf life of 1 year if frozen and 11 days if refrigerated. The U.S. Department of Food Safety and Inspection Service is concerned that this product may be in consumers' refrigerators or freezers. Anyone who has bought the egg rolls is urged not to eat them, throw them away, or return them to the place of purchase. More information on the recalled product is available at yavapai.us. I'm Bill Monroe reporting.
Taking a look now at your KQ&A weather. Scattered showers and thunderstorms in the forecast this week.
Expect an overnight low of 63 tonight in the Prescott area with a high of 86 tomorrow and a high of 84 on Thursday. 69 degrees tonight for Cottonwood and the Verde Valley with a high on Wednesday and Thursday of 95. Q&A will continue after this. I'm Link Elliott for the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, and 95.5 FM. KQ&A.
Conquer more than just your commute in a 2018 Findlay Toyota Prescott RAV4. Take your adventure into the future. Discover more good times with hardy 18-inch 5-spoke black alloy wheels, larger over-fender flares, integrated roof rails, and durable rocker panel guards. All standard, anywhere you want to go. The RAV4 Adventure Grade's unique badging, power-heated mirrors, and halogen projector beam headlights will get you there in style. Right now, get 0% APR for 60 months on an all-new 2018 RAV4 or $2,500 cash back. Every new Toyota comes with Toyota Care, our complimentary maintenance plan including roadside service for 2 years or 25,000 miles. Findlay Toyota Prescott and at FindlayToyotaPrescott.com. Thank you for voting Findlay Toyota Prescott the Daily Courier 2018 Reader's Choice Award for Best Automotive Dealership.
Findlay Toyota Prescott, we are everybody's hometown dealer.
Offers on for credit. Monthly payment for $1,000 finance, 0% for 60 months at 60.67. Must finance with Toyota Financial Services. Does not include tax, license, title, and $499 fees. Offer expires 9/5/2018.
The people of Arizona sent a clear message. Illegal immigrants should not be allowed to vote in our elections. But Secretary of State Michelle Reagan didn't listen. Reagan caved to liberal special interests. She agreed to overturn the Arizona law that requires proof of citizenship to vote. That's right. Michelle Reagan made it easier for illegal immigrants to vote in federal elections, putting our elections at risk. The Arizona Republic called it a clear victory for progressives. It's a disgrace. Fortunately, there's a conservative choice for Secretary of State. Republican businessman Steve Gaynor. Lifetime NRA member. Pro-Trump Republican. Steve Gaynor is running for Secretary of State to protect our elections and stop illegal immigrants from voting. Strong conservative leadership. Republican Steve Gaynor for Secretary of State. Paid for by Steve Gaynor for Secretary of State, LLC. Authorized by Steve Gaynor.
Listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQNA. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
Welcome back to Q&A. I'm DJ Phone. We have with us Sam Seward and Kevin Gray from Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University. They made big news recently because their team of EREU students and Sam is the faculty advisor. They engaged in what was called a Hyperloop competition. Sam, you're the faculty advisor. Explain to us what that was all about.
Yes. Well, thank you. I'm honored to be their advisor, and the team has been incredibly well self-managed and very disciplined and worked hard. So honestly, I haven't had to do a whole lot. and I've enjoyed participating. I went to competition day with the team. Mm-hmm. It was fantastic.
I understand ASU also had a role in this.
Yes. So the group is called the AZ Loop. And Embry-Riddle and ASU have been working together, have worked that very well. That's, I think, a difficult thing to do, to be in two geolocations and two different schools. And so I'm very impressed by that.
And Kevin, tell us why you think we need Hyperloop.
Hyperloop is a proposed fifth mode of transportation. It kind of combines a train and a plane almost. It's got the speed of an aircraft, a supersonic aircraft, actually. Ideally, the pod will travel through a vacuum tube and get to, say, from Phoenix to L.A. in 30 minutes.
And realistically speaking, if we were to approve that, you know, with tax dollars a little bit, roughly how many years would it be before we see that in place?
That's a great question. It's hard to say because the technology is still needing to be developed. The systems that isolate the oscillations and the vibrations felt by the passengers need to be finished and designed better. So it could be as early as 10 if the public interest is behind it, or as many as 50.
And Sam, what is SpaceX's and Boeing's role in this?
Well, SpaceX, I'm sure all the listeners are somewhat familiar with Elon Musk, who, of course, started SpaceX. And I think the history on this is that he kind of penciled this down on paper almost as why can't we have better transportation? And so he got SpaceX involved in this. Exactly why that's SpaceX, that would be probably a better question for Musk. But he also has, of course, other ventures like the Boring Company there in L.A. And I think he realized that getting students involved would really help motivate investigating something that's really kind of a long-term, very ambitious project to revolutionize transportation.
And, of course, Elon Musk is also working on a project to take people, was it to the moon or to Mars? He doesn't think small things, does he?
No. So, it's very motivating. So he's the rock star of STEM for, mm-hmm. Faculty and students everywhere. So he doesn't really have to say much. He just has to appear and talk about, how he wants to use technology to better the world, revolutionize the world. And I think that's very motivating to anyone who works in the STEM disciplines.
Mm-hmm. Kevin, tell us some of the members of your team.
Sure. So our team members at the Embry-Riddle side of it, Maciek Szerzs was the president. He was the liaison between ASU and Embry-Riddle. Monica Chaunier was a very important braking team member and levitation team member. Those are both subsystems required to make the pod operational. Tristan Minkoff was our levitation team lead. We also had a few software and controls people. Kevin Piera and Nita Ibrahim were also on the software and controls team. And then I was the braking team lead for a good portion of the project, about 6 months.
Now, on two of those, you mentioned levitation. Is this magnetic levitation that some high-speed trains use in Europe?
Yeah, it's very similar to that. Ideally, the whole pod could be propelled and levitated through magnets.
So does this mean that the rails of a train will not touch the track?
Correct.
Really?
Yeah.
How does that work?
It creates a very small buffer, maybe a couple millimeters, but that's just enough. Maybe combined with a little bit of compressed air to create an air bearing, but that magnetic levitation can provide stability, both lateral and longitudinal, and that would create a pretty comfortable ride.
And no friction, right?
Correct. And with the vacuum tube, you would reduce air friction as well.
Oh, my goodness. Sam, do you ever look at the abilities and the brain power of these guys and go, thank God they're doing it for a good cause?
I think it's absolutely fantastic.
So, oh, my goodness.
All that physics and calculus is paying off.
Yeah. Kevin, what would it be like to ride in the Hyperloop?
Ideally, it'd be very comfortable with those levitation and stability systems. Mm-hmm. There's no reason it would be jerky or bumpy. Turbulence wouldn't be an issue. And even though you're traveling at supersonic speeds, the acceleration up to those speeds is gentle, so you don't feel that change.
Now, I understand the challenge for your team is essentially to turn theory into propulsion, braking, structural integrity, software, safety, and controls, right?
Correct.
Just an easy task, right?
Yeah.
So how long has your team been working on this?
So the AZ Loop as a whole has been working since last year's competition. In 2017, we participated and placed within the top 10 or so. So we worked a lot off the structure of last year. However, we redesigned the pod this year, and overall we were working starting around September, Embry-Riddle joined around in October of 2017.
Mm-hmm. And Sam, you've got engineers and designers communicating between mechanical, electrical, aerospace, physics majors, business students. How do you bring them all together?
Well, that's fantastic. I mean, the interdisciplinary challenge is great, and the students manage most of that themselves. So I've actually been involved with the Hyperloop teams at Embry-Riddle since 2015. Mm-hmm. They found me and adopted me. And they've been mostly self-organizing, so they've needed little help in doing this. I think part of it is they recognize that it's a challenge of bringing all these things together. Mm-hmm. It's great to have students from different disciplines working together, and I think just having something to focus on together has really allowed them to understand and appreciate different disciplines much better.
What's the greatest improvement or change from last year's competition?
Well, so there's been three in total. The first one was more like a competition on paper, and it was held at Texas A&M. And then just a few teams, I don't remember the exact number, but it was around three, were able to go to Hawthorne. The track wasn't...
That's where SpaceX headquarters are, right?
SpaceX headquarters. So in that year, they didn't quite have the track built and that kind of thing.
That can be a problem.
Right. So the second year, they had the track built. I didn't attend that year. Mm-hmm. My schedule just business wouldn't permit it. But, you know, that was really the first year that they made runs on the track.
Now, this is the tube track, right?
Correct.
Vacuum tube.
Yeah, and I think that really kind of set the bar then what was possible. So, you know, the first speed records were set, I believe, in that second year. It was actually a SpaceX entry that set the record. You know, so now I think that's really helped. There's a concrete challenge that the students understand very well. The track exists. Mm-hmm. You know, so you have, I think the team that's really benefited all the teams, but AZ Loop in addition to really understand what it is, that it's no longer just sketches on paper,
yeah.
Right? This is a real thing.
And Kevin, in terms of your goals, what kinds of speeds are you attempting to achieve?
Looking forward to this year. Our goal is to reach 300 miles per hour.
300 miles per hour.
And of course on a scale track.
Wow.
This year, the top record was 284, and we think we can beat that.
Is there any place in the world that you think is using something pretty much similar to what you're designing?
I think this is a completely unique design.
Really?
It incorporates so many different systems. We see the magnetic levitation in trains, and we see the speed in airplanes, but nothing combines all of this together. Mm-hmm. Even the tubes have been seen in subways. They can be underground, they can be above ground. It has the same environmental impact that we usually see, but it's never been combined with all three.
Sam, one of our listeners, her daughter is a graduate of EREU who is working in the space program, working at a company in Palo Alto, California, who was just part of a space launch in Cape Canaveral. And when she was going to EREU, she would bring friends over. And I noticed that in their living room, it looked like two different kinds of white paint on the living room wall. One was flat, one was glossy. She said, no, that's not glossy paint. That is a whiteboard. I thought, huh? Why would your living room wall have a whiteboard? And she told me, and this is going to sound familiar to both of you, I know. It sounds like something out of the Big Bang Theory. But she and her friends would come over, and they would do calculations on the living room wall. Is that kind of a standard practice at EREU?
I think so. We're definitely a very technology-focused university. You know, STEM is the main event.
Yeah.
Of course, there's a broader education provided at the same time. Mm-hmm. But that's why students chose to come to Embry-Riddle. So that is not atypical at all.
And working off that, actually, my dorm room did have that wall.
Oh.
This last year, it was great. I worked on so many projects there. But what was funny was the first year I came in, it was a basic physics class, and I could tell that there were two projectors on the wall, and there is the wall behind it with the screens to pull down on the projector. And my professor wasn't using half the projector, so he pulled it up, and he grabbed his Expo pen and starts what I thought was going to be writing on the wall, and I realized the entire wall was the whiteboard.
Isn't that something? Wow. So, Kevin, I have to ask you, when you were in high school, what kinds of courses were you taking to prepare you for this kind of a curriculum?
I got very lucky. In high school, I wasn't thinking too far ahead.
No kidding.
I went to a good school, so I had a good math foundation, and English has never been a problem for me. So I took the normal track through the high school, and I graduated on time and nothing weird or too many outstanding AP classes.
Mm-hmm.
I took AP Calculus. That definitely helped get set up. But the class that helped the most was an intro to engineering. And we talked about the difference between science and engineering. We talked about a bunch of different disciplines. I did a research project on nuclear reactors. And it was in that class that I discovered, yeah, engineering is really fun. This is what I want to do.
How often do you look at something and wonder why it works or why it didn't?
As soon as I realize how many mechanical aspects are in something, that's when I start getting to notice it.
I interviewed the author of the epic book of great engineering disasters. He posits in the book how you can replicate these disasters on a very small scale in your own home as a very simple way of seeing why they succeeded or why they failed. So, Sam, tell us, how many countries are these students from at EREU?
Oh, wow. It's pretty global. So, you know, I don't have stats on the tip of my tongue. But,
sure.
You know, we have lots of students from Asia, from the Middle East,
mm-hmm.
Mostly the western states in North America, interestingly enough, because, of course, we have a campus in Daytona as well. So
sure.
I think that kind of creates that.
Yeah. And it's nice they have a space launch right there at Cape Canaveral, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I have a student I'm advising who's actually headed to Daytona this year.
Mm-hmm.
So they do go between the campuses.
Yeah,
but
sure.
But we tend to mostly have students from the western states. And then otherwise, you know, it's global, completely mm-hmm. global. We had a summer camp this summer, and we had students from Shanghai, you know, to California. So,
you know, I talked to one of your basketball coaches a couple of years ago, and I asked about the special challenge in being a basketball coach or any athletic coach for ERU. And they said, our students are always analyzing everything and asking why. But that's part of the mindset that enables you to come up with solutions, right, Kevin?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And when did you first get the science or engineering bug?
Were you
taking things apart and putting them back together as a kid?
You know, that's actually very typical for engineers, but I don't remember doing that much.
No kidding.
I was curious, and I would ask about how things work, but I never found the desire to take stuff apart.
Mm-hmm.
I played with Legos, but I wasn't creative enough to create my own something. I would just do the kit that I bought. I would save up my car washing money or my lawn mowing money and get like a $100 kit or whatever. But I would take it apart and then redo it from the instructions. So I don't know when it happened, but I think it was somewhere around that senior year of high school when I took that engineering class.
Sam, tell us what your role is at the university, in addition, of course, to being the faculty advisor for your team.
Yeah, sure. So I teach in the Electrical, Computer, and Software Engineering Department at Embry-Riddle College of Engineering, and I'm an assistant professor.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there 4 years. I'm starting my fifth year now. I also teach at the University of Colorado, and my particular area of interest is unmanned aerial systems. So that's what I work on, you know, as my research in addition to the teaching that I do. So the Hyperloop, the main place I'm able to contribute is in the computer and software engineering aspects. Mm-hmm. So it's such an interdisciplinary project
sure.
that it requires a large team of advisors. So I'm just one advisor. We have two advisors at Embry-Riddle, and we have quite a few advisors at Arizona State. Do you know
at least seven? Two, in addition to the administrative folks that help with funding.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and you know, part of the challenge is even though you can drive, of course, between Phoenix and Prescott, it's still an hour and a half each way.
Sure.
So they have a lot of virtual meetings and things like that. So that I think is fantastic because that's great experience for the future for industry. I mean, that's the way things are going mm-hmm. if they're not already there, right? Very
yeah.
virtual and building teams quickly, getting projects done,
yeah.
and then moving on to new teams.
And if I experience one more traffic backup on I-17, I'm going to ask you to build a Hyperloop there.
That would be fantastic.
Wouldn't that be fantastic, though? So let me ask both of you, when you look at incredible old structures, say like the Great Pyramids, say like the grand cathedrals in Europe that have stood for over 1,000 years, they didn't have computer software then. You ever wonder, what did they have then to make that possible? Was it slide rules?
You know, they did have encryption, and they did have language and algorithmics. So they didn't have a machine mm-hmm. that could do that kind of thing, but the concepts were there fairly early. So the computer science software engineering is more related to mathematics, but is an engineering discipline, especially the way we teach it at Embry-Riddle. So we're focused more on how do you take software and computers and embed them into something to achieve something fantastic like the Hyperloop. One of the things that we teach is design for sustainability.
Yeah.
So thinking like the full life cycle, when you build something, what's going to happen to it in 50 years, 100 years?
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely something that should be thought of when building something like the Hyperloop.
Sure.
And, you know, but I guess like everything, you have to take steps, right? So I think technology like the Hyperloop, as Kevin suggested, your estimate was 10 to 50 years.
With public support, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good window. But, that's one of the reasons it takes a while when you mm-hmm. start thinking about how is this going to be for riders, you know, are you going to use this for cargo? What is the full life cycle of this
sure.
technology?
Sure. And speaking of sustainability, nothing major gets done these days without an environment.
Provide value. That's what a CPA can do for you. Hi, this is David A. Snyder, CPA. Now is a great time of year for business valuations. Valuations are for providing a value for your business so you can retire from it, sell it, or expand it. With my ex-military task-oriented mindset and over 20 years of experience, you can trust that you can get the most accurate business valuation. Give me a call or visit DavidASnyderCPA.com for more information. You deserve the sharpest in Arizona, David A. Snyder CPA.
I am Jody Rooney, a conservative Republican running for the Arizona House of Representatives. I am a daughter of the American Revolution, and my family fought to support the birth of our Constitution. I firmly believe in the Second Amendment that gives us the right to bear arms. That includes passing down gun ownership within the family, just as my family has done. My grandfather gave his life at the Battle of the Bulge. We serve. I am Jody Rooney, and I am proud to be an American. Just as my people fought, I will fight to protect your rights.
Paid for by Elect Jody Rooney, LD1. Authorized by Jody Rooney.
Membership in the Prescott Chamber of Commerce is good for your business. As a member, your business will be listed on the Prescott Chamber website and in the Chamber's annual directory. You're also eligible to place brochures in the Chamber's lobby and opportunities galore to network with other business people at monthly mixers and other events. Join the Prescott Chamber today at 445-2000. Prescott's business advocate, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce.
Load up the RV and hit the open road. To the repair shop? Now that's not my idea of a fun trip, and it sure isn't convenient. So let High Country Rec B Center come to you. Mobile service is just one of their specialties. They'll even troubleshoot for you over the phone, so you're not paying for unnecessary parts and repairs. And they're an authorized warranty and service center for all the major RV appliance manufacturers and extended warranty work. So to schedule service or just ask them a question, call them at 772-8231 or online at hicountryrvcenter.com.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
Well, as strange as it sounds, an ex-police officer who rigged the McDonald's Monopoly game and made millions in illegal winnings, he's going to be the subject of a new movie. The movie version of the story will be directed by Ben Affleck, and it will star Matt Damon. Of course, they go back to the days of Good Will Hunting. Now, the story details how the former police officer, his name is Jerome Jacobson, he worked as the head of security for a company that produced the game pieces for the McDonald's Monopoly game. Well, he stole the winning pieces and sold them, making millions of dollars, enriching himself, but also enriching mobsters, psychics, strip club owners, and drug traffickers. So that movie will be out sometime next year. Stay tuned now for Ben Shapiro at 3, then Talk of the Town, Prescott Valley at 4. Join me right back here Wednesday with my guests, Kelly Baritska, with Ollie Lifelong Learning, and local writer Elaine Jordan. That's Wednesday at 2 for Q&A when I will see you on the radio.
You've been listening to Q&A on KQ&A. Today's show was sponsored by High Country Rec V-Center, David Snyder, CPA, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, and Prescott College. The views expressed on today's show do not necessarily reflect the views of KQ&A, Prescott Valley Broadcasting, our employees, or our advertisers. Join us next time for Q&A with DJ Phone on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM in Prescott, and at 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A.